Om Shanti, Namaskar, a very warm welcome to all of you. And these sessions have been so enlightening to all of us that we are really getting so much information, so much of knowledge, and we have been talking about so many new things. We just learned about who am I? I'm a point of light soul, and then we had the experience of knowing the Supreme Soul, our own Father, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Father, God Shiva. And then we had the experience of knowing about Rajyoga meditation and how to do Rajyoga meditation, what is the process of doing it. Then we are moving forward, and now we have come to a stage where we need to know the importance of time. What is the importance of time? And secondly, why do I have to know the knowledge of time? Why do I have to have the information of time? See, there are a lot many people nowadays who are thinking that I am the ultimate one who will be deciding about myself, that what I want to do with my life, how I want to go about in my life, and I want to live an independent life. I am the one who is going to beat the time and move forward. See, time is something which can't be, you know, you can't defeat time. Time is something which is going parallelly with our lives. So we have to go parallel with the time. Time is some people think that I don't have to go with the time. So people sometimes choose to go opposite the time. But for those, time is sometimes, becoming just like a ruler and teaching them good lessons that you have to move with the time. Otherwise, the time is going to kill you. That is the reason why nowadays we have time management sessions going on in a lot many places, in our companies and in many organizations. We learn how to manage time. According to that, we are nowadays making plans and scheduling our time, that we will be doing these many things for the whole of the day. So we plan accordingly. But sometimes some mishap happens and we get engaged in doing other things, and then at the end of the day we say that whole of my day is wasted today, whole of my time is wasted today because something else happened. So it is not necessary that the things are going to move accordingly what you plan. So time is something which is very much relevant, and you need to know what signals the time is giving to me. So, because time is something which is not certain, which is rapidly changing. Every time it is changing. Time is consequently changing. Consistently the time is changing. So with this consistent change in the time, with the parivartan, with the change which is something which you can't avoid, something which is so inevitable. So time is rapidly changing, and accordingly we also have to change ourselves. And those who don't change ourselves, those who don't change according to the time, the tough time forces them to change themselves. So we don't want to be forced by someone to be changed. We want the real application, the real motive, or the real, a real player in the world drama is of the one who can change with time, who can rapidly change or adopt to the changes that we see in the time. So accordingly, we are now discussing about the time cycle. We have come to a point where we want to reveal that what signals the time is giving, and what time is it when the things, what kind of things are happening in the world, and what exactly is the moment, this moment, and what is the relevance of this moment. So these things we will be discussing. We must have seen that there are a lot of cyclic things happening in the world. There are a lot of chakra, lot of cycles, that which these cycles are eternal cycles. These cycles could not be stopped, and they have been things moving in the cycles from time immemorial, and we have seen a lot of these cycles. For example, we are having day and night cycle. the day and night cycle, we never question this cycle, that from what was the time when day and night cycle started. Then we are having another cycle which is called the season cycle. We are having the seasons every year planned for the 365 days. We are having the summers, the rains, then the winters, and then the spring. So all the seasons are coming, and seasons are running in a coming and going in a cycle. Then we are having another cycle, is called water cycle. So we are having the clouds being formed from the ocean, and then those clouds bring rains, and then the water goes through the rivers and then goes back to the ocean. So we are having this water cycle also going on. Similarly, we see everything which is moving nowadays, now even not nowadays, the whichever thing we are seeing, it is in a process, it is in a cycle. So when we talk about time, time have been something which we have tried to inquire about, which we have tried to invent, which is we have been inquisitive to know that who started time, when it started, what was the beginning of the time, when did the world start. But time is something which you can't invent. Time is something which has been, which is also eternal. You can't define time as it started at this time and it's going to end at this time. So time is also in a cycle. But what is the duration of that cycle? How we can say the time is in a duration, the duration of this time, what is the exact duration? Then there are a lot of belief systems about time being cyclic, time being the duration of the time is something there has been a lot of debate going on this topic. Now here, by sitting here, we are telling you about the whole duration of the time cycle. The whole duration of the time cycle is of 5000 years. Now many of you will be questioning, many of you will be having this question in your mind, that why we are talking about 5000 years and why just 5000, from where this figure came from, 5000 years. This figure of 5000 is undebatable, because there have been lot of proofs of it. But when we say that the cycle of the time is of hundreds of thousands of years, when we say millions of years, we do not have any proof of it. If I say that, please give me any proof of hundreds of thousands of years, or give me any proof of millions of years, then you will say, we just heard that time, the cycle of time is of hundreds and thousands of years or millions of years. But we do not have any count of that, for how many years the Satyug prevailed, for how many years all the yugas of the time cycle, what was the duration of the of each and every yuga of the time cycle. So we are left with nothing, no calculation, we don't have any duration of that. But we are going to give you a duration of the 5000 years cycle. We will be giving you the exact figures, that how we can divide all these four yuga, the Satyug, the Treta Yug, the Dwapar Yug, and the Kaliyug. We are having these four stages, the four charan, we can say, the four parts in which this time cycle is divided. And these four parts are Satyug, Treta Yug, Dwapar Yug, and Kaliyug. Why these four parts? We see there are lot many things. The cycle that we are seeing now, every time when we see, there are four stages in which most of the cycles rotate. For example, when we see the cycle of the day, day and night, the cycle starts from early morning, then we are having the whole day, which we call the noon, and then we are having the evening, and then the night. So there are four parts in which we can divide the whole day and night cycle. Similarly, we are having the four parts division in the seasons also. We are having the summers, the rains, the winters, and the spring. So that can also be divided into four parts. And in the same way, we can divide the cycle of the birth and death of a human being. We see our child is, first of all, in his childhood, we can say it as bachpan, a childhood is there. Then the child becomes young, then youth is there. Then we see the person enters into household, he gets married, then a household life starts, and then there is old age. So there are four parts of the birth and the death cycle also that a person undergoes. Now, this 5,000 year, particular number, from where did we get this particular number of 5,000? See, we have been listening to so many time cycles. When we were given the concept of understanding, when we were just made to understand time, someone told us that that 1 minute is having 60 seconds or 1 hour is having 60 minutes. We never complained about it. We just accepted it the way it is. When we were told that 1 year is having 365 days in the English calendar, we accepted it the way it is. And now we do not question. We never question. The person who divided all this, he could have made different divisions. He could have said that no, now we have want to change this cycle. We want to have 50 minutes in 1 hour. We want to have 70 minutes in 1 hour. It is the time frame which is going to be permanent forever. The time frame of 1 hour is going to be permanent. The time frame of day and night is going to be permanent. It is fixed. But how we divide it in how many fractions we are dividing it, that depends on us. Someone said, no, I am going to divide it, the 1 hour into 60 minutes. I am going to divide the whole 24 hours into two parts, one of 12, one of 12, and this is the way the division, you know, happened. So similarly, it depends on our calculation, it depends on our perception or our understanding that how we have divided the time. Now, when we talk about Hindu calendar says the whole year is of 354 days. Now, we do not question even the Hindu calendar, but we are actually making all our festivals, we are planning our festivals according to the Hindu calendar, because that is also based on a science. It is not something that we have discarded the Hindu calendar. We accepted it the way it is. And we also accepted the English calendar, which says, no, 365 days are there in a 1 year. So both of these things are going simultaneously in our lives, and we have accepted everything. Similarly, the 5,000 year cycle, this duration should also be accepted. But there is a proof. You must have heard that the Chinese people, the Chinese calendar says that the civilization of China is 5,000 years old. Similarly, for India, we say that Indian civilization is 5,000 years old. It's the ancient civilization, the most ancient civilization in the whole history, and it is 5,000 years old. And we also say that Mahabharata started 5,000 years back from now. And now, when all the signs of Mahabharata will be visible all in the whole world, then again it would be after 5,000 years. So now we are seeing those signs of Mahabharata in the whole world. Well, we should be discussing about that later. But this whole full cycle is known as Kalpa. We define it as Kalpa. And one Kalp is of 5,000 years duration. Then the next concept, the next thing that you must have heard, it is the law of entropy. It is the second law of thermodynamics, which says that entropy is a measure of disorder. And the second law of thermodynamics states that all closed systems tend to maximize the entropy, which means that we are moving from an ordered state to a disordered state automatically. There is nothing that triggers disordered state. There is nothing in the world which is made disordered. Everything is first or in an ordered state, and then it moves towards a disordered state. Everything is first new, and then it becomes old automatically. It becomes disorganized automatically from an organized form. For example, you make your home. When you make your home, the home is new automatically. You will never make a old home for you. Whoever is there in the world, we do not make old things. An old thing can't be made. all the things that we make, those things are new, but they become old automatically with the time. So that is called law of entropy. So everything moves from an ordered state to a disordered state, an organized state to a disorganized state automatically. So entropy increases, maximizes. But when we have to reverse the entropy, when we have to bring the ordered state back again, then what we have to do, an external input, an input of energy is required. When we want to make a new home back again, because our home is old now, we need to renovate it. We need an external effort to be put into making the new home. We need to demolish that old home, or we have to renovate the old home so that a new one can be made. Now we are also here, we also must have heard about the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution talks that, theory of evolution said that the development of the human being, it happened from the ape, from the chimpanzee. And we all are now a developed human being, because earlier we all were monkeys and we all were chimpanzees or ape. And we were in an underdeveloped state at that time, and now we are more developed and more organized. So don't you think that this theory of evolution is against law of entropy? Because here we are saying that even the energy and the matter is the body, which has also, undergone through this process of evolution, and matter has also gone from a disorganized state to an organized state, and now we have become a human being. Earlier we were chimpanzees, earlier we were monkeys in a very disordered form. And then for the mind also, we are saying that in the theory of evolution, that mind is also getting developed, the energy, the soul is also getting developed from a disorganized state to an organized human being. But this theory is absolutely contradicting the law of entropy, which says everything moves from ordered state to disordered state. So there have been no proofs of this concept that now the human beings are getting the developed form from the chimpanzees or from ape. We do not see any example in the world where the apes or the monkeys are becoming human beings. We all are born through human beings, not from the monkeys. We are not becoming human beings from monkeys. We don't have any example of that. But this is just a theory, the theory of evolution. We are, our ancestors were not monkeys. Our ancestors were very valuable human beings. We call them deities. In the Hindu scriptures, in all the scriptures that we have heard, our Vedas, our Purans, they would always talk about human beings were earlier in a very developed stage, and later after, as the time passed by, we all have degraded in our values, and the world has degraded, the entropy has increased. So things have been changing since then. The things have been, moving towards a disordered stage since then. But earlier we were more organized. We were in a new world, and now the things have moved to a more disordered stage. So let us see what exactly the stages of the existence are when we talk about the stages of the existence. So everything moves from a new thing to a old things, but these laws of existence apply to both the energy and to the matter. So both the things, even the energy and the matter, in the beginning they both are sato, then rajo and tamo. These are the three stages. In these stages we all have to undergo the energy and the matter. They undergo these three stages. First of all, the things are new. That means they are having high energy. The entropy is low, and in the sato stage, everything is new, everything is complete in itself, and then the energy is lost. We come to a rajo stage, and then we come to a tamo stage where the entropy is very high and we are in a very disorganized form. Now you must have heard about the swastik. The swastik is what we call the swasthiti suchak. You must have seen the swastik everywhere. When you go to a temple, you first of all put a tilak on your forehead, then you will lit a candle or you would lit a diya, and then when you concentrate on the diya, the symbol of litting the this custom of litting the diya in front of God is a symbol that God is also point of light and I am also a point of light. So we have to concentrate on that form, and then after that we are making this swastika and we are putting full stop on each and every part of it. So this swastika represents the different stages of the soul in the time cycle, and not just the stages of the soul but the stages of the prakriti, of the kudrat, of the nature also. The nature is also undergoing the sato, rajo and tamo stage, and similarly the soul is also undergoing the sato, rajo and tamo stage. So let us see how it happens. In the very beginning, when we see the hand is just like this in the very beginning, in the 5000 years cycle, when this cycle starts, however it is a cycle, and we know that a cycle is not having a beginning or an end, but when we talk about the cycle, we can say the first part, the cycle started from somewhere. So we can have a beginning, and that beginning is called the golden age or the Satyug. And we see the hand is like this, and then the hand is going down, then the hand is going like this towards the left, and the hand is going up. So it is just like a cycle being rotated. It is just like the time is happening in a cycle, in a rotation is happening, and it's going to go again, again and again. So this cycle is eternal. As we talk about the golden age, so what was there in golden age when the world was absolutely new, the world was absolutely complete, and the world was something like that where the souls are 100% healthy, wealthy and happiness, and happiness was prevailing everywhere. So this was the time when we call it Satyug, means there was absolutely truthfulness everywhere. There was there was no suffering, there was no unrighteousness in this world. This age is called Golden Age because every soul was complete, every soul was Sato Pradhan, full. And then this is that era when every soul is complete, when every soul is full and every soul is blessed. This is the time when we see when the souls are complete in itself, and the souls are called Sato Pradhan. They are full to the 16 celestial degrees. We shall be telling you what are 16 celestial degrees. It's a degree of perfection. It's a degree when we say the whole world is new. It is the world where the emperor and empress are Lakshmi and Narayan, and each and every human being is like a deity. Each and every home is like a temple. And the whole world is like a golden age. The whole world is like heaven. We have got several names of this world. Some people call it paradise. Some people call it Jannat. Some people call it the garden of Allah. Some people call it Eden's garden, Atlantis, heaven. Lot many names you must have heard of this time. And golden sparrow, in fact, because India is said to be the golden sparrow in the beginning. So this era is particularly an era where the whole nature and the souls, they all are complete, they all are new. And this is the Sato Pradhan stage, the absolutely full stage, the duration of which is 1250 years. And when this age passes, and we enter into an age which is called Silver Age, it's called Treta Yuga. Now what happens in Treta Yuga when 1250 years are gone? Then the world becomes little old, not much, but little old. And just because of that, there is a slight decline in the quality of the soul. There is a slight decline in the battery of the soul. And similarly, the same thing happens with the nature. The nature becomes little old. You can say your house has become, the home has become, the planet has become 1250 years old. So there is slight gradual decline in the quality of the souls, in the quality of the nature, in the quality of the in the quality of the five elements. And from 75% we are going down to 50% when we reach to the end of Treta Yuga. And that is the reason why this hand is shown downwards, because of the slight decline. And this Silver Age is also similar to Satyug, similar to the Golden Age, but the only difference is there is a slight decline. Otherwise, this age is also pure. This age is also free from all the negativities. This age is also of deities. The duration is also 1250 years. There is no hospital, no doctors, no police, no crime happening in this world. And the governance is of one. We see this age, we cannot say it is Sato Pradhan, but we can say it is Sato. And just a little decline in the quality of the time, because the world becomes little old. That's why it is called Silver Age or the Treta Yuga. And then after 2500 years, when this time is passed, Satyug is passed, Treta Yuga is passed, the world becomes, little old in a way, when 2500 years have passed, and now we are entering into a time where the souls have declined in values to a greater extent, you can say. And this is the time which we remember as all the deities, they started doing some crime. They started involving into sins and lot many other things. They started involving into vices. And the introduction of the five vices happened. And those vices are the lust, the anger, greed, attachment and ego. And because the souls started getting involving into sins, committing pap, and because of that some karmic accounts are created. So this is the reason why we call it as Dwapar Yuga. Dwapar means when there are two purs, when there are two portions being made, two parts in which we are divided, and there is righteousness and unrighteousness, there is pap also and there is punya also. So two purs are made in this yuga, and that is the reason why because of grief, because of pain and sorrows and sufferings which start from this age, we start to remember God. Otherwise, in Satyug and Treta Yuga, we were not remembering God. At that time, we were complete and we were absolutely happy and there was prosperity everywhere. But here, we are losing our prosperity day by day. And therefore, we started remembering God, and that is why Dwapar Yuga is called the Yuga of Bhakti. So, Bhakti started, and we started making lot of Vedas and Puranas, and lot of scriptures are being made. And the Bhakti goes to a very big extent, you can say. And because this Yuga is shown with a hand like this, you see, the hand is going towards left, and otherwise the hand in Satyug was like this. So from this stage we come to a stage where we are demanding things. Earlier we were giving. Always the deities are like this. They are in a mindset of giving everyone. They are the one who are bestowing happiness to everyone. They are in a world which is full of happiness. But here when we are entering into Dwapar Yuga, we are entering into a yuga where we are demanding things more. We started keeping expectations with the other people. And that is why when bhakti started, the time started where all the sins and all the vices started, and we started remembering God. And as a result, because that this is not the time when God has to come on earth, and this is the time when God sends His messengers to give His message. And who comes to give the message of God? We see lot of messengers like Abraham comes, then Gautam Buddha comes, and then Jesus Christ comes, and then Muhammad Sahab comes, and then we see Guru Nanak coming and Lord Mahavira coming. So lot of preceptors, they came on this earth at this time, at this duration of Dwapar Yuga, and they tried to connect us with God. They tried to give the message of God that you have to live your life happily, you have to have lot of values inside you. But the result was not that. The result was not up to mark. Why? Because when they were gone, we started dividing ourselves. We started to have different vision for everyone. We started having different insights about our, you know, about the knowledge of God. We started fighting for God, for our own religion, for our own concept, for our own belief system. So with each belief system, we are having different religions made in the world, and we started dividing each other. And now we are fighting for our religion. And with these fights, the Dwapar Yug entered into an era which is called Kali Yuga. And when Kali Yuga started, we see the crime is increasing, the paap is increasing, the sins were increasing, the impurity was increasing, and that is why the hand is like this. So there is an explosion, you can say, an explosion of impurity, an explosion of everything, an explosion of vices, and we see lot of unrighteousness happening, misbehavior happening in the world, and lot of corruption happening in the world, lot of pollution happening in the world, lot of misuse of things happening in the world. So we are misusing everything. We are misusing our lives. We are not understanding. There is lot of ignorance in the world. So we entered into the age which is called Kali Yuga or Kalaha Kalesh. The world where everything, we all are in chaos. The world where there is a lot of, disputes happening in the world. There is a lot of, disagreement in the perceptions of people. Now, this Kali Yuga, this age is something where we have actually made lot of things to demolish the Kali Yuga also. Nowadays, we are making lot of arms, lot of weapons, where we are ready to, kill our own community, to destroy our own community. Nowadays, human being has become his own enemy, and we do not see each other helping. We are so, we don't like each other. We don't want to live with each other. We ourselves have become like an enemy to everyone. We don't trust anyone. We want to culminate everyone. We want to eradicate everyone. And we are fighting for the religions. We are fighting for our belief system. We are fighting for our self-arrival and self, we are fighting for our self-survival. And we see there is a show off of power. We want to show our power, that how powerful I am. And I am making so many things. So everything is happening in the Kali Yuga. And that is why it is called Iron Age. The soul has become so depleted in the qualities. The soul has become Tamo Pradhan. Absolutely incomplete. Now with this time where there is lot of ignorance going on, when in Dwapar Yuga we were in Rajo Pradhan or Rajo state, we can say the soul was at least having some values or some quality. Now we have entered into the Kali Yuga where there is no quality at all, and now we are even at the end of Kali Yuga. So this is the end of Kali Yuga, and we are seeing lot of signs of the Kali Yuga being ended now. Lot of signs which are, the time is showing us lot of signs that this is the end of Kali Yuga. How we can recognize that we are at the end of Kali Yuga? There have been lot of signs which are mentioned in our scriptures. It is said that when there is going to be all the governances, all the governments shaking, and we see lot of people involved into irreligious activities, and there is unrighteousness happening everywhere. People will be hiding and doing lot of sinful acts day by day. And people will be involved in lot of bad crimes and doing and killing people and involved in all the five vices. So these are the symptoms, these are the signs that indicate that we are at the end of Kali Yuga. So based on that, it was also said in Mahabharat that when all the signs of Mahabharat, when you will see the signs of Mahabharat, that would be end of the Kali Yuga. So the Mahabharat signs are also visible here. Nowadays, each and every home is having a Duryodhan. Duryodhan is the one who didn't utilize the value of wealth, who misused the wealth. The one who misused the wealth. So that person is called Duryodhan. So nowadays we all are misusing our wealth. There is Dushasan everywhere in every home. The one who can't have self-control. The one who don't know how to rule. The one who is not even in his own control. Who is not even the ruler of the self is called Dushasan, and we are having Dhritarashtra everywhere, who is controlling everything. Nowadays we are having politicians, the one who is the king, the one who is blindly having belief and following the concept of nepotism, and there is favorism happening, that they are promoting their own children, helping their own children, but they are not concerned about the, you know, common good of or common welfare of each and every individual in their kingdom or in their governance or in their country. So we are seeing these, all these things happening here. We see all these people who are existing now, and we see all the signs here. So this is the time when the God's intervention is very much required, and we consider this time when we heard about the law of entropy. That law of entropy says that when the world becomes old, when something becomes disordered, then to put the things back to an ordered state, we need an external input, we need an external effort, and that external effort is done by God Himself. So He descends on the earth for the world transformation. He comes on the earth for the world, for the transformation. So this is small time, this small age where God comes and when He incarnates, when He arrives on the earth to re-establish the new world order, to re-establish Satyuga, to re-establish golden age. And when this world has become old, this age is called, this time is called Kalyankari Purushottam Sangam Yug, means the auspicious confluence age. This auspicious is a word is attached to it because this is the only time when we can have the real uplift of the soul, when we can elevate ourselves. This is the time when we can meet God and have a one-to-one conversation with Him and have a heart-to-heart conversation with Him, because otherwise He is not coming in any of the yuga. He will be coming when Kaliyuga is going to be there, and we are, when we are at the verge of Kaliyuga end. And then God arrives and gives us all the knowledge about our own self, the knowledge about Himself, who He is, knowledge about His abode, from where He comes from, and the knowledge about the time, the cycle of time. It is such a beautiful thing that the God comes at such an accurate time. It is such a beautiful thing that God comes at such an accurate time. And when He sees it is the end of Kaliyuga, He has got a particular timing, and He leaves His throne from Paramdham and He starts His journey to the earth. And it is such a beautiful thing that God is so accurate in His task, and when He arrives on earth, because He is Ajanma, He is unborn, He can't take a birth from the human womb, from the mother's womb. So He enters into the body of a normal human being, of a sadharan, of an ordinary, a common man, and He acquires His body and He sits on His seat and gives us all the knowledge of the past, present and the future of the whole world drama, of the whole cycle. So He is the one who is re-establishing. He is the one who is doing all this thing. He is the one who is generating the whole thing. He is making the new world, new creating new world order. Making a new world is not an easy task. It has to be a collaborative, you know, effort. It has to be a collaborative contribution, you can say. We all should contribute. We all should help God. But God is having a vision. In a same way, suppose a human being, your father, when he sees that the world, that your house is has become old, and he sees a vision to make a new house, then he would tell you that I want to make a new house because this house has become old. You would never question your father. You will never say, no, I don't want a new house. We are satisfied with the old house. We will be fine living with the old house. But if the father is having that vision, if the father is having the capability of building a new house, why would the children say that no, we don't want a new house? Definitely we will be happy to know that a new house is going to be built very soon, and we will be shifting to the new house. Similarly, when God comes with a vision to build a new home, to rebuild the world, to bring the new era again back and to build the golden age again. We cannot question God. We cannot say, no, we just want this world to exist forever. We don't want the Satyug to come. We are happy with the Kaliyug. Are you happy with the Kaliyug? Are you happy with all those things which are going on in Kaliyug right now? No one would say that, yes, we are happy. We would never say that the world should continue like this. We want a happy world. We want prosperity everywhere. We want peace everywhere. These are the values that we demand. So God is making that world which is filled of all these values, which is where there is prosperity everywhere, there is happiness everywhere, there is bliss everywhere. So we all should help Him to make this new world. But this vision with which God has come, for this vision, He has also given us this this knowledge that this whole world is divided into four quarters. And with these four quarters, each and every moment of this drama, every moment of this world is beneficial. Everything. That's why it is called Su Asti. Shubh Labh is said. Shubh Labh means each and every scene of this drama is beneficial. Whatever is happening, it is happening for something good. Even if in the past, whatever happened in the past, it was for good. Whatever is happening is for good. And whatever will happen, that is also for good. So I have to accordingly think on and plan myself and plan my understanding, plan my thoughts and my belief system that I am an actor who is in this eternal world drama. I am doing a beautiful acting. I am a role player and I am eternally doing this thing. And this eternally is going to be beneficial for me. I am an eternal actor. I will be forever doing this acting. And then we all are actors in this world drama. And similarly, we see nothing is new in this drama. Everything has happened before. So you see each and every scene that you are right now feeling and right now seeing in front of you, it has happened before also. So 5,000 years back from now, you have had the same scene in front of you. And now in the coming 5,000 years, you will see the same scene back again. So nothing is new. So just have this perception that is the reason why we say that everything is repeated. And that is the reason why we sometimes have the deja vu effect, deja vu feeling. We sometimes feel that this scene I have seen before, this is something which has happened before. And that is the reason why we as souls remember that something rums repetition is being happening. So this, for remembering all this, we need to put a full stop on whatever happened in the past and we have to move forward, because that is the way of living in this world drama, because it gives us a very beautiful understanding that I have a chance of improving myself. With this drama, we should have this thing in mind that if I am going to act bad, if I am going to do bad karma, then forever I will be doomed to do all the bad karmas again and again for the next 5,000 cycles and for the next cycles in the drama. But if I am now determined to do good act, if I am determined now to do good for everyone, for the common welfare, then I will be doing good to everyone and I will be making good karmic accounts for the rest of the cycles which will be coming. So put a full stop on whatever happened in the past, but start doing new things, start doing something good to others and to the self, and have the positive attitude towards yourself. And that is how we see a happy ending in this world drama. We will be happy, we'll be ending everything on a very good note. So that is how we see ourselves in this world drama. So we will be seeing our next sessions very soon, and we will be discussing more things in the next sessions, because we are still left to know that what happened in each and every yuga, because we are very much fond of, of knowing about things, how the things are moving, we definitely have listened to or read the history and geography of the world, but that history and that geography was not that interesting. But this history and this geography you will really enjoy, because it's the real history and the real geography of the world which God has revealed. So God came and He told about what is going to be there in Satyug, Treta, Dwapar, Kaliyug. So we will be elaborating the whole of the yugs, all of the yugs to you, that what happened when, there is going to be a lot of answers to your questions in the coming sessions. So definitely there will be a lot of questions in your mind right now. So we will be taking your questions. But for now, thank you so much. Om Shanti.